Today is second week in Believe, and I'm convinced, again, this is going to be a great series for us. And last week we took a look at God, and that was a very big subject to look at. And today we're going to get a little more personal with it, a little closer, as we talk about how God is a personal God. And that helps to narrow it down just a little bit. There are a number of scriptures that we could turn to today to consider how God is a personal God, how He relates to us. But we're going to do it through one of the most well-known and well-loved, and that is the 23rd Psalm. And so today we're going to go down through this beloved Psalm and see that we have a God who is highly personal and wants an ever-deepening relationship with each one of us. Let's begin by reading or reciting this 23rd Psalm. If you know it by heart and want to join with me, please do so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I love the way that David describes God. In verse 1, he exclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. The Hebrew word, the Hebrew name for Lord is Yahweh. And that's the same God revealed to Moses in Exodus 3:14. When God said, "I am who I am." That's the phrase Yahweh. And this name for God was so revered in Jewish circles, among the Jewish people, that they considered it too holy to be spoken by human lips. It was so revered that it was pronounced once a year on the Day of Atonement, and only then by the high priest in the most holy place of the temple. If the name needed to be written, the scribes would take a bath before writing it, and then they would destroy the pen afterward. That's how revered this name Yahweh was in the Jewish faith. This God that we revere, that we love, that we know, is the God we're going to be looking at today as we consider how God relates to us. And I think Psalm 23 is a powerful psalm that kind of reminds us of the many ways in which God relates to us. Jesus also revealed Himself to the Jewish people in John chapter 8, 58, when He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when Jesus said that, the Jewish people around Him thought He was speaking blasphemy because He was declaring that He was God, and of course He was God. He equated Himself with God. But Jesus wanted us to know that He is a personal God, that He is our shepherd. And in Psalm 8 we read, "O Lord, our Lord, He is Creator, and yet He is present with us. He is powerful, and yet He's personal. He is majestic, and yet He is our friend. He is a consuming fire, and yet He is my personal shepherd." Isaiah 40:11 says, "He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young." The first point we're trying to make today is this, that both the Old Testament and the New Testament affirm that God is a personal God. And we see that as we look at this 23rd Psalm. So it's not just the Old Testament, 23rd Psalm, where God is a personal God, but throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New, consistently God reveals Himself and desires relationship with us. He is a personal God. Well, how do we see that in the 23rd Psalm? Well, first of all, God provides for us and leads us to be content. The last part of verse 1 tells us that since the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not lack for anything that is necessary and good for me. I will have what I need. Friends, if the Lord is your shepherd, if the Lord is truly your shepherd, then everything else becomes secondary. Since God is our shepherd, all our needs are taken care of. It becomes a matter of contentment. Let's face it, friends, there are a lot of things we want in this world. But God provides for our needs. And when we have God, our wants, they become secondary. In today's world, it's not the norm to hear someone say, "I shall not want." No one says that phrase anymore. Because we've been conditioned or been advertised to want things, to desire things. And that plays against this idea of "I shall not want." Max Lucado refers to our discontentment as the prison of want. The prison of want. And its prisoners want something bigger, something nicer, something faster, something shinier, something thinner. If your happiness comes from something you deposit or you drink or you digest or you drive, then you are in the prison of want. Are you hoping that a change in circumstances will bring a change in attitude? If so, you are locked up. You are in a cell of discontentment. Allow the powerful simplicity of verse 1 to dwell within you. What we have in our shepherd is greater than what we don't have in this life. Let me say that again. What we have in our great shepherd is greater than what we don't have in this life. God is a personal God, and He provides for us and leads us to be content. Verse 2, he says that God is our personal God who restores our souls. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Notice that the shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. Isn't that interesting that he makes me do that? The shepherd would take the sheep and they would fold their legs in such a way that they would become paralyzed for a while. And therefore, they had to lie down and get their much needed rest. Some of you have at some point in your life been forced to get some extra rest, to lie down for a while, whether it's because of a broken bone or some other health problem or heartbreak or the loss of a job. The shepherd has slowed you down for a reason. And while the shepherd would force his sheep to rest sometimes, the best way to get his flock to chill out was to make sure that some conditions were met. So this is what a shepherd does for his sheep. First of all, sheep are very fearful. They're very fearful. They're nervous. And we know that a shepherd, when the shepherd is with them, they become calm and they relax. Isaiah 43:5 says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." So fear is a constant concern for sheep. Also, friction is a constant concern for sheep. And when there's friction in a sheep's life, they can't sleep. Instead of lying down, they stand up and they keep themselves on high alert. And the shepherd tries to minimize those tensions and distractions. Third, there is frustration. Sheep have problems too. Things like gnats and flies and parasites can distract sheep and keep them from lying down. So a good shepherd keeps his eye out for those things and does what he can to make sure they're not frustrating the flock. And the fourth is famine. A hungry sheep is forever on its feet, foraging for food. And so the shepherd has to make sure that there are green pastures where they can graze and where they can get ample food for their needs. Some of us never slow down long enough to chew on the green pastures of God's Word. Many of us are filled with fear and friction, and so we don't know how to rest. You know, we struggle with slowing down. And when the shepherd tries to slow us down, we fight back all the time. God wants us to lie down in the midst of His abundance. A sheep that is lying down in the meadows of the Master has no worries. Many of us are filled with anxiety today. There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from insomnia. The major cause is stress, anxiety, and worry. I read about a guy who was so overcome with worry that he decided he was going to hire someone to do his worrying. He found a man who agreed to worry for him, and he was going to pay him $200,000 per year. After accepting the job, the first question to his boss was, "Where are you going to get $200,000 to pay me?" The boss said, "That's your worry, not mine." Back to the sheep. After being fully fed, the sheep were then led to still waters. Do you know that sheep are afraid of running waters? They're afraid of running waters. They need still waters to drink from. In fact, a sheep will drink from still water even if it's, you know, diseased water or muddy water or unclean water. It doesn't matter. If it's still, they will drink it. We're a lot like that, aren't we? God has provided so much for us, and yet we often drink from places that will harm us. We're so restless that we can't settle down. We're nervous and anxious, even though God is calling us to find rest for our weary souls in His grace, in His power, and His love. God is a personal God, a God who restores our soul, Psalm 23 says. Why? Because sheep are careless. They are curious. They are skittish. They often need to be restored. The Hebrew word that's used for restore here means to bring back to a former state or a normal state. It's to make new. And sheep can get lost very quickly. They can get going the wrong way. They can get lost. And this can be serious because they can fall and they can get hurt. A predator may kill them, or they may simply tip over and become cast down. That means the sheep is lying on its back with its legs in the air, flailing, not knowing what to do. If that happens, death can come quickly to the sheep. So the shepherd all the time is looking out for the sheep and making sure that they have pastures that are green, that they have water that's good to drink from, that there are no predators around them that are endangering their lives, and that they are being restored when they have need to be restored. When they fall over, they are placed back up again. This is a great picture of what God does for us. He looks for us when we've wandered and restores us when we are cast down. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, 10,000 chances. Because we blow it, don't we? We're just like the sheep. We do dumb things. And we need a God who looks over us and cares for us and restores our soul. And I'm so glad that He does. Next, we see as a personal God that God guides us. In verse 3, it says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The word for paths that's used here refers to a well-defined and well-worn path. And that's the path that we should be taking. But sheep are not the brightest animals in the world. And so they'll often take another path. They won't go on the well-worn path. And the shepherd has to come along and get them back on the well-worn path. Even when the path is perfectly clear, sheep will stray. Most of us know the right road, and yet we do the same thing, don't we? We get led astray. We need the shepherd to guide us in the right way because, like sheep, we have no sense of direction. And God does this for us for the sake of His name. He guides us for His sake, not for ours. His reputation is at stake. His character is on display. When we come to verse 4 of Psalm 23, there's some changes we need to note. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, the sheep are in the sunshine. The sheep are in the sunshine, and it's how the shepherd provides for the sheep in the daylight. But now we enter the shadows. God not only takes care of us through the great times, but He guides us through the dark seasons of life. And that is our next point. Our shepherd protects us in the darkness of life. You'll notice that even in that verse, the pronouns change. David speaks to the shepherd directly. He says, "You are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare. You anoint." When times are tough, God becomes more real to David. Have you ever experienced that? When times become tough for you, God becomes more real. God is present. We see that God's protection covers every aspect of our lives, from green pastures and still waters to even the shadows of death. God will protect us. There's no need to fear death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Friends, this is a picture of the shepherd leading his sheep back home in the evening. And when they go through the rocky ravine and narrow gorges, shadows can easily frighten the sheep. It's in those narrow gorges and ravines that predators can hide like bears and wolves and lions and wait in ambush for some fresh lamb chops. But notice David said, we walk through the valley. That means we don't stay there. That we're passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And notice also the word shadow. In one sense, the shadow is something sort of ominous about what it presents, or what it represents. On the other hand, the shadow of a dog cannot bite, and the shadow of death cannot harm us as long as we stay close to the shepherd. When there is a shadow, guess what? There also has to be light somewhere. And that is the case. The God is our shepherd and our light. David continues, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's a great statement. You are with me. You are with me. It is a statement of trust and belief, a statement of confidence. Powerful statement to know, to trust, to believe that even when we walk through the most difficult times of life, the great shepherd is indeed with us, leading us, guiding us, directing us, restoring us moment by moment, step by step. He loves us so much, He won't fail us, He will not leave us, neither will He forsake us. That's great news from a personal God. The rod that's mentioned in Psalm 23 was like a club that often hung from the shepherd's belt, and it was used to protect the sheep. So shepherds would use that club and they would throw it at a predator as the predator was contemplating attacking one of the sheep. Or he would use that club to beat a predator. The staff was a slender pole with a crook on the end, and it would be used to hook around the leg of a sheep to bring them back to safety. Or it would be used to direct the flock, to kind of push them, to navigate them, to steer them in the right direction. In the same way, we must lean on the Lord for all that we need as we find comfort in His power. And the word for comfort that comes in this text comes from the Latin. It's where we get the idea of strength through companionship. That's what the great shepherd gives to us, strength through companionship. We are strong because the shepherd is with us, watching over us, caring for us, directing our lives, restoring our soul, doing all the things that a personal God does. In Psalm 23, there's no need to fear enemies, David wrote. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's using a common expression to describe what a shepherd does to prepare a pasture. The best place for sheep to graze on is what? Flat pasture land. Flat, lush pasture land. And so the shepherd would inspect the pasture before allowing his sheep to go in there. For poisonous plants or predators and snakes. And once it's safe, the sheep can eat and rest, even though there are enemies nearby. And it also says the shepherd would anoint their heads. You anoint my head with oil. Do you know that shepherds used oil? They did. They used oil for three different reasons. First of all, to repel insects. Secondly, to prevent conflicts. And thirdly, to heal wounds. You know, sheep are really bugged by bugs. Flies will lay their eggs in the moist area of a sheep's nose, and when the eggs hatch, larvae would drive the sheep crazy, causing them to beat their head against the rocks or shake it up and down for hours on end. And so the shepherd would cover their heads with an oil-like repellent to keep away the flies. It's also used to prevent injury to the rams as they would butt heads in their battle to win the affection of the ewes. Whenever the shepherd would hear two guys say about the same lady, I want that ewe, or you, however you say that, he would anoint them with oil. Because what would happen when those two rams would come together and butt heads with the oil? It would keep them from cracking their skulls open. And they would sort of bounce off each other. Think about that. The third reason for oil is because the flock gets a lot of wounds and cuts from simply living in the pasture. They get pricked by thorns, they receive abrasions from the rocks, and so the oil serves as an ointment to protect their sores from getting infected. That's a powerful picture of what the great shepherd does for us. He deals with our problems by protecting us from things that can wipe us out. He helps us to have harmony with others, and He comforts and heals us when we're beat up. Let me ask you, do you have any wounds today? You have any wounds today? Then call on the Good Shepherd, because God is personal and He seeks to give us His protection. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious about what enemies may do to us, and we certainly don't have to be paralyzed by our problems. As we move toward the end of the psalm, we see that God gives us more than we need in verses 5 and 6. He says, "My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." This picture has two meanings. The shepherd could carry something to drink, and he would share it with his sheep when he needed to. He would be generous, but he knew that he had to have some liquid. They had to have some liquid or they would perish. The other meaning may be that of a dinner host who serves drinks in cups and would pour until the cup literally overflowed. That was a common way to tell your guests, you may stay as long as you like. But when that cup sat empty, the host was telling you, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. And so when the host really enjoyed the company of the person, he filled that cup till it was overflowing, to continue the relationship, to continue the fellowship, to continue the celebration. The word follow here literally means to pursue. It's a picture of God pursuing us. Picture goodness and love pursuing us all the days of our life. God's goodness and God's love, clearly evident in this wonderful passage of Psalm 23. And it's indicative of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, where the Good Shepherd gave His life for His sheep. Finally, we want to make the point that God is preparing for us everything we will need later. Look what He says in that last phrase, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The psalm begins with words of hope. "The Lord is my shepherd." And it ends with words of hope. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The sheep had been following the shepherd to green pastures through shadowy valleys. They have seasons have changed, and now they're coming home. The flock is satisfied. All is perfect. And one day we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know the sheep? Do you know the shepherd? If not, why not join his flock this morning? Stay close to the shepherd. Many of us are astray. We wonder where the Good Shepherd is. Let me encourage you, stay close to Him. Be drawn back to Him. Look for those green pastures, those still waters. And remember that He is always, always with you. Our God is a personal God. He is a personal God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He's always with us. He is indeed our shepherd. Revelation 3, verse 20 says of Jesus, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." And this verse has been portrayed in artwork for generations. But two things need to be noted about it. Most, if not all, artists portray Jesus knocking on a door with no handle on the outside. That the only way for Jesus to enter is to be invited in, for the one on the inside to open that door to Jesus. And most often, Jesus is portrayed with a shepherd's staff in his hand. The shepherd looking for his sheep. Is he looking for you today? Is he looking for you? Are you a part of the flock of God? We have a wonderful God. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the one true God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a personal God who does all these things for us and oh, so much more. And He desires that relationship with you. But that only happens when you open the door of your heart and invite Jesus in. So why not today be the day you open the heart of your door to Him, the Great Shepherd? Say, "Here I am, Jesus. Here I am." To the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are a personal God, that You desire relationship with us, that You know us better than we know ourselves. And just as the shepherd cares for the sheep, Father, You care for us. Father, may we be drawn ever closer to You today. because you are a personal God who knows us, loves us, cares for us, and is with us always. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, may we indeed trust you because you are our shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.